Welcome to the America Magazine podcast. America Magazine is the national Catholic weekly. Visit us online at www.americamagazine.org.
Hello and welcome to the America Magazine podcast, the week of January 24th through 31st. This week we feature an interview with Brother Michael O'Neill McGrath that Carrie Weber conducted from the Catholic Campus Ministry Conference in Florida just last week.
Hello, this is Carrie Weber, Associate Editor for America Magazine. Today we're talking to Brother Mickey O'Neill McGrath, who is an artist, speaker, and author, as well as an oblate of St. Francis de Sales. Brother Mickey lives in Camden, New Jersey, but often travels the country to share his art and insight. He was a keynote speaker this month at the Catholic Campus Ministry Association Conference in Clearwater, Florida, where we caught up with him to discuss his work, including his painting, Christ the Teacher, which was recently presented as a gift to Pope Benedict XVI. Maybe we could start talking about the painting that was recently presented to Pope Benedict XVI, and if you could describe that painting for us and describe why it was given to the Pope recently.
Okay. The painting, Christ the Teacher, was done for a book called At the Name of Jesus, which is a collection of paintings and reflections on the traditional and ancient titles of Jesus from Scripture in the early days of the Church. And Christ the Teacher appealed to me from because it kind of sprang out of my own teaching days. And I have him standing in front of a blackboard on which are written the words, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me," and that's inspired from the gospel passage where he goes back to the synagogue in Nazareth for the first time and undoes the scroll and reads from Isaiah. But the unique feature of it is that the word teacher is written in 34 different languages in the piece, and he's holding in his arms the ways in which the word's been conveyed since his day, two scrolls with Aramaic and Greek and a Torah and an illuminated manuscript from the Middle Ages and a laptop computer. And that's my favorite piece, element of the painting is this computer and the fact that when I was working on it, I found a website where I could have words translated, and I asked for the word teacher to be translated, and 76 people from all around the world sent me the word teacher in their language, and it was just such an awesome experience to see how small the world's become thanks to technology, and how we have a new way of coming to the word and hearing the word and being with the word, and so that's what Christ the Teacher's about. It was chosen by my publishers, Bill and Mary Lou Rafferty, who are the owners of the J.S. Pollock Company. They had a private audience with Pope Benedict, and they chose that painting for them to present because of its international feel with all those languages in there.
Now, one of the elements that often runs through a lot of your work is this synthesis of the modern and the traditional views of saints and holy people. What do you think that sort of brings for people today? Does it help them to relate better, or does it maybe introduce people who are not familiar with a saint in a way that would catch their interest?
Yeah, I hope so. I'd like to both introduce people and reintroduce people to the saints. They were such an important part of my Catholic childhood, and I love those stories. And when I was teaching myself how to draw, I used to copy pictures of the saints and from my children's Bible and the saint books and whatnot. So I always loved them. And then when I grew up, I kind of put that aside, I guess, as childish things. I don't know. They weren't quite as important as they were. But it was when my parents died that I had this whole new take on what the communion of saints is and what it is in our Catholic tradition and how these wonderful figures with terrific stories, and especially the ones that they don't teach you when you're little. I love the human side of the saints, and that's what I try to convey in my paintings and drawings of them so that they're not just kind of pious devotional images, but real humans that are still with us. And that's the message for everybody. It's kind of, take a new look at this person here. They might have something to share with you. You know, when you hear their struggles and their stories, it kind of helps you walk through your own struggles better, I think.
Sure. And a lot of them are very inviting images. A lot of the images that you present look like people you would want to sit down and have a beer with or talk to.
Yeah, especially St. Bridget, huh? She could turn water into beer, so I had to do a picture of that right away. I'm currently working on a book on Dorothy Day, and of course she had a tremendous devotion to all the saints and was quoting them all the time. So that's been fun, too, to take this a contemporary person who hopefully will one day be a saint herself and to show her connection and how relevant the saints are still for us today, you know, both the old and the new ones.
Right. One of the things you talked about yesterday was an evolving sense of what is beautiful and what beauty is. And how has your own evolving sense of beauty affected your art or what you see as art?
It's funny because I've been talking about these things for years. It's always been what my work's been about, my ministry as an artist. But I'm seeing it in a whole new context now that I live in Camden, New Jersey, one of the poorest and most dangerous cities in the country. And I haven't been this happy in a long time. I'm just having a whole new take on beauty, largely through research on Dorothy Day and all that. And how her motto was, "Beauty will save the world," from Dostoevsky. And so with that in mind, I realized that I came there at the invitation of Father Michael Doyle, who's a pastor at Sacred Heart Church in South Camden. And he believes that fervently also, that beauty brings hope and healing. And so my job, I feel, in Camden is to rediscover, just like the saints, I'm kind of rediscovering the hidden beauties that are in this terribly desperate, horribly desperate and poor city. So there's still beauty there, you know, and it's and I think when you see it in the context of Jesus and the message of Jesus and church, then we see beauty beneath the surface, you know, with the homeless that come to our door and all that, you know, and the brokenness is where the beauty is.
Has there been a reaction in your neighborhood to the fact that you're there? And do they know there's an artist here among us?
Some do. The folks of the parish sure do. And I'm on the road a lot, so unfortunately. And the block that I live on is right across from Sacred Heart Church. It's one of the houses that's been rehabbed. There have been 200 rehabbed by the Heart of Camden, which is a foundation set up to do that at Sacred Heart. So, yeah, I'm a presence there for sure, and that was Father Doyle's idea. We have a new live theater on the corner. The South Camden Theater Company was formed, and there's a beautiful little poet's walk. It's a meditation garden with a brick from James Joyce's house in Dublin. And so right in that little neighborhood around Sacred Heart, it's this little oasis of beauty that's happening and being formed there. And I'm very honored and blessed to be part of that.
So. Sure. There's sort of an element of welcoming to having that art available and to having that art sort of just be a way of introducing people to the church or introducing people to your ministry.
That's right. And when I have visitors, which I love to do, and folks often come to the studio and just to see it, but right across the street from my studio is a life-size Madonna, a bronze statue of Mary called Our Lady of Camden. She's a black woman with a basket of fruit and vegetables as a symbol of hospitality and welcome. And I just love the fact that there she is right there on the street. And on the other side of the church is a black Sacred Heart. And I think those two elements of beauty next to this, you know, old church, it's 135 years old, I guess, that they really make a statement of what Sacred Heart is all about and how we're going to make change happen, you know, that bit by bit, slowly but surely, there's, you know, we can't give up.
What are your thoughts on sort of the state of art in the church today? Do you think that we are relying too much on sort of the old images, or, you know, we don't have enough reverence for the old images? And what is the chance for new artists trying to work in the church today?
I'd say we're in a growing period right now since Vatican II. The church was a little antagonistic towards modern art. Prior to Vatican II, the closing session of the council, Paul VI addressed the artists of the world and said, welcome them back, basically, you know, all is forgiven, come home. So there's slowly but surely been a resurge of interest in the arts. And I know when I was starting to get into art full time after teaching it for 11 years, I was going around to retreat centers and all and seeing if there was a place for art. And that's how my current ministry was born. You know, it's I think it's down there in the trenches that you see it. And the other, the Protestant denominations all have very active arts councils now and all kinds of, you know, art-related activity. The problem outside of the church is that commercial galleries aren't in the least bit interested in religious art, you know. So there's still that kind of tension there. So if you're a religious artist, pretty much the only place for it is within the church, you know, and not a lot of churches have money to buy art these days, you know, so there's always that as well. But there's so much beautiful stuff going, new architecture, a new building, and which needs to be filled with art. And so I think it's happening.
Sure. Who are some of the artists that influenced you in your work?
I guess when I was in graduate school, I went to American University in Washington, D.C. My art hero was Edward Hopper. I loved him. I wanted to be the next Edward Hopper. And I also loved Georgia O'Keeffe a lot, still do. I went to New Mexico last year to visit her ranch and home. And so they're important figures to me. And I also love, I've always been drawn to medieval and Romanesque art. So I think a lot of those elements carry over into my own work.
And is there some piece of your own work that you feel most deeply connected to, or something that you really has meant a lot to you, or has come out of an event that has meant a lot to you?
Yeah, it's an easy one to answer because it's a painting called The Windsock Visitation, and it's a Black Mary and Elizabeth embracing, and it was done for Sisters of the Visitation in Minneapolis. They're called the Nuns in the Hood, and the original is hanging over their fireplace as a symbol of welcome to the community. Their mission or ministry is to be a gentle presence in the violent world. They live in a really rough part of town, and they do a whole lot with the children of the neighborhood, and it's this little oasis of peace and Salesian gentleness in the midst of all that. So because that painting was done for them, and it reflects Salesian spirituality, which is, I'm a blade of St. Francis de Sales, so that's my spirituality. And because it's a good painting, you know, technically and all that, it's all the elements came together and make that, I think that's probably my most special personal favorite.
And how did the neighborhood react to that painting? Did they enjoy it?
Oh, very much. It's become quite well-known in circles out there in Minneapolis, and people even have come by just to see it and just to be present to it. You know, it's kind of become the motto or, you know, mascot of the sisters community there in many ways. So.
Sure. And now you mentioned St. Francis de Sales. How has he or his spirituality affected your art and your decision to be an artist?
Oh, it's probably been the biggest influence more than any of all the saints that I love and paint. I've always come back to him because, of course, entering the Oblates, I've been imbued with Salesian spirituality. But it's his love of the ordinary and finding God in the little virtues and the little opportunities we're given each day. And more than anything, he was just a genius. I don't think any saint understood human nature like Francis did. And he knew way back in the early 1600s that we can't cave into stress. You know, don't give all your energy over to stress and anxiety, but just be in the moment. And that was always his motto over and over, just to be yourself. Don't try to be anything other than who you are and live in the present moment, you know. And they're too difficult, but both those things, being your full self without caring what other people think about that and being present in the moment are very difficult challenges, you know, and especially in the day-to-day work world. But it's always about finding God where you are. When you do that, and kind of take a deep breath and you get through, you know.
Right. Yeah, it's a message that translates very well from his time into our time. And I think makes it an excellent topic for your work, which sort of brings together his time and our time.
Yeah, because there's a joy in it, you know. It's kind of that when you can live it as stress-free as you can and not get hung up on the, we all know the dark stuff that's going on and the scary stuff and what a difficult time this is, both in church and culture. But if you dwell on that, that's what you're going to become, you know, a worry worker, a stressed out individual. But if you look at the other side, that there's a lot of wonderful stuff happening out there too, and let's concentrate on that, you know. Then it can't help but give you a joyful spirit, I think, and optimism.
Wonderful. Well, thank you so much for taking the time to speak with us today. Really appreciate it.
You're welcome, Carrie. It's been a pleasure.
I want to thank Carrie Weber again for conducting that interview with Brother Mickey McGrath. You can check online where we have a link to some of Brother Mickey's artwork. Also online this week, we have some travel reflections from the editors, including one from myself and Father Ray Schroff. That goes along with our travel issue, which is published this week. Reminder that you can respond to our podcast by going to americamagazine.podbean.com. This is Tim Reedy for America Magazine.